where you left your Holy Spirit with us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for our senior pastor who's now worshiping and preaching at the Mount Carmel Baptist Church. We pray you be with them and their congregation. Lord, I pray, Lord, that lives will be changed and transformed. In your name we pray. In your name we pray. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give a praise clap for our praise team ministering with us.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
Amen. Bless you guys. You may be seated. You may be seated. We're so happy to be here at the beginning of Men's Month. Created for greatness. Created for greatness. It's going to be a great month. I'm sure you already heard all the announcements. Tomorrow, we want to come out, make sure we get some. Again, they're featuring our Diet Johnny Cakes on tomorrow and Diet Corn. Amen? And Diet Chicken. So tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the park, let's come out and see. And now, all of you who are basketball fans, who watch basketball, now we have a special treat. Now, we at least know that it's going to go four games. If you're a Cleveland Cavalier fan, I feel bad for you. I don't like the Cavs whatsoever. I have deep resentment and deep, God has not worked on me with that yet. I'm a Spurs fan. And if you remember what LeBron, listen, officer in the back, I will have you escorted out. I am not a Cavs fan. And I plead that the blood of Jesus be on Stephen Curry on tonight. Amen. That the anointing of his shot will make every bucket he throws up.
Yes, sir. Warriors.
But for game four, that's next week, Monday, the 12th. Pastor and I, and along with the men's president, we're hosting a watch party up at Pastor's house. Now, you don't have to be just a man to come. We want everybody to come out. Just come in your jeans. Come relax. We're going to have some food there. We're going to watch the game together. Amen? It's a different way to minister. And if you're back in the Cavs, we will anoint you in the name of Jesus before you walk in that house. Amen? We will have no kind of those spirits up inside of... as I was saying, I didn't know the engineer was a Cavs fan. So I'll stop right there. Amen.
Yes,
Dad. Wow, that got a little touch and go. Well, we're so happy that you're here on this morning. Y'all already laughed so much. I don't know if I should share my joke with y'all this morning. But if you can get this, I don't have any prize for you, but I'll just give you a hand clap. If somebody could get this, is no round of listen. What do you call a deer on the side of the road with no eyes? I'm sorry. How did you know that? The answer is no idea. And what do you call that same deer with no eyes, with no legs? Oh, huh? Still no idea. You get it? It has no legs, so it's still no idea.
Amen.
Sister Laverne, how did y'all know that? Well, we're going to get started this morning, and we're going to be turning to the book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. We'll read the first couple verses, but you will have just one verse there. Nehemiah, chapter 6. Now, this is a very familiar story. The men have taken a very good stance on our subject and our theme for this month, Created for Greatness. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that they've shared on this morning. And I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible on this morning. Nehemiah chapter 6. When you say it, say amen.
Amen.
So we'll be reading your hearing, and the words are up there on the screen as well. When word came to Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it. Though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gate, Sanballat and Geshem came and sent a message, Come, let us meet together in the village of the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent a message to them with this reply. I'm carrying on a great project, and I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it to go down? Four times they sent the same message, each time with the same agenda. And we're going to share on this morning, chasing after greatness. Somebody say, chasing after greatness. Now, this is a very familiar passage. There's a very simple lesson that we have on this morning. As we're created for greatness and we're chasing after greatness, we have to do a certain number of things. Now, if you're a contractor, if you're somebody that does things, I don't know if you have somebody in your family, if they start something, they don't even want to take a break or eat until they're finished. If they are started, they don't want to be disturbed until they're finished. They don't even know that they're hungry until the task is finished. And I don't know. My father is a little bit like that. He's not here today, so he can't defend himself. But if he's working on something, he doesn't like to take a break. I'm sure Brother Manny's like that. When he's working, he doesn't like to take a break. And we want to celebrate Brother Manny on this morning because he just finished his apartments that he's been working on. Now, Brother Manny's been working on this for the past 2-3 years, Brother Manny? 2 years and 5 months. And he didn't take a break, and he kept working day by day. And yesterday, he celebrated its opening. Sometimes when you're doing something important, you can't take a break. Now, you might be, I know it's men's month, but some of the women, when you're shopping, you have an anointing on you when you're in the mall. It's called a Holy Ghost anointment. Yeah. And you don't, you're not allowed, you don't even take a break. Before you get going, you put on some sneakers and you make sure you eat a slight little breakfast. And when before we get going, you make sure that you're ready to go. And you don't even get tired. Amen. I don't know if you ever shopped with my wife and my mom. I did it a couple times and I do it no longer. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And my mind doesn't allow me to go shopping because I'll lose the least bit of patience that I have. Because there's no need. They don't stop. But sometimes if you're working on something that great, if you're working on something that good or something that important, there's no need for you to stop. See, Nehemiah and the rest of the Jewish people found themselves in a similar position. They were building back the walls of Jerusalem. See, the walls at that time protected the city. So while the walls were down, they were vulnerable to attack. And if you saw before the books in Nehemiah, the chapters before, different people took different times and different turns building part of the wall. Nehemiah did it all by himself, but he had help. But those different people had completed their task, and they got the wall to halfway. But when they heard that Nehemiah was assisting, they came with a plan because they wanted to disrupt what was happening. You see, if they were able to stop the wall, then the city was still vulnerable for attack, and the city, the people, and their traditions. So Nehemiah was sent a message to try to corrupt and try to stop him from going forward. And 3 or 4 times they sent a message to him. And every time he sent back the same message, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Now I have just 3 things to share with you, and we're going to take our seats. But the first thing is, if you're going to do something that you're saying that you're created for greatness, if you're lined up your life to be created for greatness, you have to think big. Look at your neighbor and say, think big. See, the thing is that some of us are having things that we're aligning our purpose to, but it is too small. See, Nehemiah was not just building a shack. He was building a wall to protect the entire city. He was thinking big. See, some of us right now are only thinking as big as our faith would allow us to go. We are depending just on how far we can think, how far we can see, and how big and strong or how much money we have. Some of us, our thinking is so limited that we don't think outside the box. And we're saying that God cannot use us to do such a miraculous or innovative or big thing. God can't use us. So because our thinking of our purpose is small, we allow ourselves to be dictated and maneuvered and manipulated by trials that come our way. Some of us right now, including myself at times, we question the office or the purpose that God has put in our lives. We question if we are the ones that God even chose to do this. We question, why, God, did you choose me out of everybody else to carry this burden? Why couldn't you have allowed this to pass me by? Why me, God? And we spend so much time asking God why. Because we think that the struggle and the problem that we're facing is too big. We think it's too huge. That this cannot be God talking to me like this. So we spend our years living below our God-given purpose because what God has assigned us to do appears too big. So we're just living a life as a Christian, as a person, and we're just settling just for enough. But if you want to do something great, if you want to do something impactful, you have to get outside of yourself. You have to think bigger than where you currently are. You have to remember that if you could imagine it, that means it's too small. You have to go and think about something that's so crazy.
All right.
That's so, when people see you like, what in the world are you trying to do? You don't have the resources nor the talent to be able to do this. What are you doing? You have to think that big. Then the second thing is you have to stay focused. So look at your neighbor and say, stay focused. Now this is the crux of the message. You have to stay focused. Now the thing is, if you're going to be, greatness is best achieved when we are able to focus on what God says about us rather than others. Our greatness is best achieved when we stay focused on what God says about us than what others say about us. You have to stay focused. Now, some of us right now, including ourselves, we have our purpose. We know what we're created to do, that we're destined to be, do something great and start a business, and all that stuff that we preached about the last time. We all know that we're supposed to do that. But since that time that we were geared up and ready to go, we have lost focus. We are now concentrating on every little idea now that comes our way. And we have lost focus in what God says that we should be doing. We've lost focus on that original plan that you had on January 1st of 2017. That promise that you made to yourself that you're going to do this year, you've lost focus on it. That thing that God has implanted in your life, you've lost focus on it. And you've allowed the tyranny and the hurt and the pain and the vicissitudes of this life. That's just all the trials and tribulations, everything of this life, to cause you to be distracted. You need to stay focused. Now, it's an interesting example. Anybody used to, I remember when we were younger, that every Sunday, you see, y'all think that I just, in Sundays, that I just like to, you know, have fun. A Sunday afternoon. We have church and then was beach, right? And then you came back for 6 o'clock to have fun. But sometimes it used to be like third Sunday or fourth Sunday. Every time we used to, Uncle Pops, who was right there, Uncle Pops. So Uncle Pops used to be there and he had his truck, his pickup truck, right? And then we couldn't wait because we used to dress down on Sunday and jump in the back of his truck so he could take us to the horse race. I never forgot it. And then before we got out the truck or the horse race, we used to be like this. He knew what that meant. We need something in our palm, Uncle Pops. We don't have no money. We just gave our offering to the Lord. So he used to make sure we had a little bit of offering. But there were some times when we were at the horse race. Very interestingly enough, I didn't quite understand it at first. Some of the horses that were there used to have on these kind of things that looked like shades. I didn't quite understand it, but after a while, I asked somebody, why are some of the horses wearing these things on their side of the head? What they told me is that they're not things, they're not shades, they're called blinders. They were like, because some horses don't have the discipline to see another horse next to them and not get distracted. If they see another horse running the right or left of them, they're more than likely going to go to the right or the left, or they won't run their own race because they're trying to busy keep up with the other horse. So we put blinders on them so they could just see in front of them and not see the side. Some of us right now need to put on blinders in our life. We're busy looking at who's doing this on the left and who's doing this on the right. We're so concerned about what other people are doing, we're not staying focused on what God has for us. You need to put on some blinders because you're getting so caught up in what everybody else is doing, you're forgetting your purpose. You're not only forgetting your purpose, but you're not running your own race. You're not running your own race. So when they spoke to the people that the horse trainers, it means sometimes some horses run within a pace. That means they run with the pack. Some horses run off the pace. That means they run behind, and when it's time to go, they pass all the horses. And some horses run ahead of the pace. They have to run ahead. You have to realize what kind of race you're running. Uh-huh. Is God setting you up? So right now in your life, it seems like you're a little behind everybody else. And because you're behind everybody else, it seems like you're a little far behind in your life, your marriage, your business, your education. And because everybody else is ahead of you, you feel like something is wrong with where you are right now. But I want to remind you to run your own race. Yes, see, the thing what happens is if the horse that's running behind actually starts to speed up and try to keep up on a pace that's not designed for them, what would happen is when it comes to the finish, it will be too tired. So the horse that's in the back just sits there and waits until the jockey says it's time to go. It doesn't worry about how many horses are ahead of them. It just waits long enough for the signal that it's time to go. Now, some of us live our life right now and we miss the signal. See, sometimes the jockey would either whip the horse or they will push the horse. And sometimes if the horse doesn't move on the signal, it has to whip and push at the same time. See, some of us right now are being whipped and pushed at the same time, and we're seeing that God is against us. But that's just your signal to move. You're in this situation right now, being knocked around, being talked about, being seeming that you're left behind. And now God is saying you have everything that you need. This situation, this burden has taught you everything that you've needed to learn. And God is saying now it's time to go. And you're still there waiting on a signal. Because what's happening is you're so focused on everybody else's race, you're missing your own signal. Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss the signal to go. Don't miss the signal to go. If you stay there too long, you're going to miss the signal. Don't miss the signal. That's what happens a lot of times when we found ourselves in these situations, that we stay longer in a situation than needed be. So the situation starts to get uncomfortable. We're in a job longer than we need to be. We're maintaining friendships longer than we need to be. We're operating in this gift longer than we need to be, and God is calling you to do more than what you're currently doing. But because you can't think big and think that God has not called you, you're missing the signal. Well, the last thing about staying focused is that you have to stay connected. You have to stay connected if you're going to stay focused. See, the thing is, if the horse or the jockey loses connection, then they are a subject to losing the race. If you're not one with what's going on, you are subject to lose what's going on. Last week, you know that my wife and I, we entered a charitable race to raise funds for the BVI Humane and Cancer Society. Amen. We were at the poker run. Amen, in Jesus' name. It was fun. And I'm notifying you from now that next year, God spare life, I'm putting in my request for leave. Amen. Don't say I didn't warn you. Don't act like I'm the only one that put in leave a year and ahead. Some of you took off already for next year. You already got your little calendar when you're taking off work. But what I realized is that when we were sailing, especially from Norman Island to the Totola Pier Park, I thought God was paying me back for my sins. I really thought we were being punished for missing church. And I was like, God, if you just steer this boat back to safety, I will. Seeing that I asked, you know how we do, God. You know, we ask for forgiveness and mercy, and then when we get it, we just do back the same thing again. But it got so rough. I mean, I was like, Lord, the tempest rage. And my wife is being there. She's being so calm. And I'm like, pass me not. Oh, gentle Savior. The water was so rough. Let me give you an example how rough the water was. This boat was just refabricated, right? Just done over. The dashboard cracked. The amplifier lift up, and the speakers went from one side of the boat to the next side. At that point, I said, Jesus, be a fence. But here's something I learned. If somebody's a boat captain, they can verify. Something that you never do. Where you're in a boat, no matter what happens, Sister Lenise can let you know that. No matter how bad things get, there's two things you never do. You never let go of the steering wheel, and you never let go of the throttle. Never. Pastor Mike's one-on-one sailing class. You never let go of the steering wheel or the throttle. Because the throttle allows you to go or slow down. The steering wheel allows you to know where you're going to go. You have to stay connected. Now, if I had gotten so distracted when all hell literally was breaking loose in the boat and let go of the throttle and the steering wheel to attend to speakers and amplifiers and wires and let go of the steering wheel and be down there fixing while the boat doesn't have a captain, I would have been on Vino, right? Pastor skips church and ends up on a reef. Sources deep inside the King Garment Baptist Church have confirmed that the board did not approve his leave request. And this may be God getting back at him right now. We have pictures at a forthcoming date. Now it sounds funny, but imagine how much of us lose connection when little things start to break upon us, and we, as soon as something bad happens in our life, the first thing we let go of is God. If God allows us to go and speed up, if God gives us direction, it's the same thing. You're letting go of the most important thing to attend to things that are not important. So just as it seems crazy, that's what we do, and we lose focus. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to stay focused. Stay focused on the important things. Stop paying attention to things that are not important in your life. Things and people. If we're saying you're a Christian, if you're saying you're trying to go towards God, you have to stay focused on God. You have to stay connected. You have to continue to pray. You have to come to church. You have to read your Bible. You have to hang around Christian people. You can't lose focus. Well, the last thing before we go is that you can't come down. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't come down. You can't come down. Now, a lot of us right now, and Nehemiah was in this situation. And he was in a situation where he was called out four times. Four times for him to come down off that wall. And they came in different ways with different compelling stories. But you have to look at your neighbor and say, you can't come down. Now, I don't know who this last point is for, but some of us right now at different times feel like giving up and throwing in the towel. Some of us feel like the purpose in this life called Christianity is a little bit too hard. Sometimes it feels like our marriage is a little bit too hard. Sometimes it seems like our children are a little bit too hard to raise. Sometimes the people on our job just get on our nerves. Sometimes the people on our church get on our nerves. And sometimes it feels like it's a little bit too hard. But you never know that you can't come down, because if you come down, you are subject to endangering not only your purpose, but the livelihood of those that depend on you. See, Nehemiah coming down would have not only sacrificed his life, but those of all the people in the city. Some of you fathers, mothers, teenagers here are targeted for greatness. God has asked and put things on your life, and you feel like coming down because you don't think that at your age God can still use you. You don't think that God has something great for you. But if you stop, you're not only literally putting your life at risk, but you're putting those that depend on you, their livelihood at risk. Or you might be like, oh, Dr. Mike, that sounds all well and fine. Think about it. If you quit your job right now, what happens to your family? If you don't start that business, what happens to your family? If you don't finish school, what happens? If you quit on your marriage, what happens to your children? If you don't start that ministry, you don't know how many lives we could have changed. If you didn't finish that house or that apartment, and you said that one or two are going to be rented at such a rate that anyone could afford, and the lady who was caught up in a domestic violence situation found out about this house and is now saved from abuse because of that place that you never gave up on. If you never continue that hair salon, and the person that came in who felt like giving up, who had self-esteem issues, and after you were finished doing their hair, they felt a little better on the inside. If you weren't there to usher and meet somebody at the door and give them a hug and smile when they came in, and they realized that, you know what, somebody loves me, and they had the energy to go on. If you weren't up here singing and playing, someone was inspired by the words that God allowed to use through you, and some soul was changed because of you living on purpose, you don't know the impact of what God has for your life. If God has created us for greatness, if God has called us to do great things, You have to think big. You have to stay focused. You can't come down and you have to be disciplined. As you all stand, here's the last thing. Everyone wants the reward. Everyone wants the celebration. Everyone wants the big impact. But not many people are willing to go through the sacrifice. If you're going to be created for greatness, you have to stay focused and you can't come down for no reason. Now we're about to pray and we'll move into our Lord's Supper. As we all heads are bowed and all our eyes are closed, I just feel like we need to pray for those who felt like giving up for some reason or the other. If you're in this church, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, you just want to slip your hand. We want to pray for your encouragement. We want to pray for your will to continue in spite of obstacles. If there's one around the church, just raise your hand and we'll pray for your strength. You see those hands. You see those hands. You see those hands throughout the sanctuary. And because you're raising your hand as a symbol of your faith, we believe that God will give you the strength to move forward. No matter how hard it gets. Because what you're struggling with right now, just make sure you wait and see the signal. And when you get it, you keep going. You don't ever stop. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you, Lord, for everyone in here. We pray, Lord, that you've used and spoken your word to encourage those. As we start this men's month, we pray, Lord, that men in this church will take their rightful place. Because we are the gatekeepers that protect our families, our church, and our communities. And when one man stands up, a whole generation could follow. Lord, nothing that we do is too small. Give us a way forward. And for those that feel like giving up, Lord, inspire them even right now. Lord, this Pentecost Sunday, you imparted and left your Holy Spirit, not only as a reminder, but an energizer. So Lord, I pray, Lord, even right now, that your Holy Spirit will be cultivated in us, that will inspire us beyond any obstacle, that will let us see clearly your vision, and we'll be able to commune with you always, even until the end of time. But we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. In your name we pray. Amen.